Open your Bibles with me to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. There God says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. And jump to verse 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. We're looking tonight at the role of the husband and the wife and the rules for the single man and the single lady. The roles, R-O-L-E-S, for the married man and the married woman. And the rules, R-U-L-E-S, for the single man and the single lady. We've read Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. There's a little bit of a lengthy reading I'd like us to read, even if I'm not able to preach too much or say too much after that. It will communicate to us everything that we need to understand today. And that is Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. Verse 22. Can we read together from verse 22? Ephesians 5, 22. We'll read all the way, and then when we get to 29, we will jump, and then we will read verse 33. So let's go. Can we read together? One, two, go. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the world. Therefore, as the church is subject unto the wife, so let the wives be to their own husbands in all things. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Let's jump to 23. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in the name of Jesus Christ. Not too much preambles right now, but if you analyze that passage from verse 22 all the way to verse 33, you will realize that maybe out of the total 10, 11 or so verses, only about 2 or 3 talk to the woman, and the rest are all talking to the men. Surprise, surprise. But for one reason or the other, I don't know why, it seems that women make more effort to study around the issue of marriage and marital success. And meanwhile, the Bible is reading full in a few chapters, if you do some comparative studies, with a lot of teaching to the men on the issue of marriage. My husband and I, Daddy and I, frequently seem to have this point of discussion. He feels that the major responsibility for marriage to succeed and for a home to be glorious lies on the husband. And I'm of the opinion that the major responsibility for a home to succeed lies on the woman. If the woman is submissive and she's doing all that she should and she's killing herself and doing everything, the home must work. Most times we just say, agree to agree to agree. Not that we convinced each other of the other person's opinion. So the last time we engaged in that discussion, I went to my study and I was thinking about it, praying and meditating. And the Holy Spirit told me that both of you are right. And I'm like, what? It's the woman's responsibility. And God said, everybody
ought to walk
in the reality and the practical manifestation that he or she is the basis for which the home will succeed. What I understood that day was that my husband feels that it's his total responsibility. That's how come our home is doing so well to the glory of God. And I had always felt it is my total responsibility. That if I was rude and I talked to him anyhow and all, he would not be such a loving husband. He would maybe be maltreating me and doing as he wants to do. But, beloved brothers and sisters, I understand that if you would take it on your head, you take the responsibility and charge yourself with the responsibility that I am the one that must do all that must be done for this home to do well, then you are on the pathway to making it succeed. I know I had read somewhere that they said to succeed in marriage, it is 100%, 100%, not 50-50. You don't give 50-50, you give 100% and your partner gives 100%. But as I began to study and I saw in the Word, I saw that a great responsibility rests on the man. A great responsibility rests on the man. Very true. This marriage passage starts off with the woman, where it says, wives, submit yourself to your own husbands. And normally we'll go on a merry-go-ride from that onwards and not even really take note of the rest of the verses. But let's look at this critically. After it says, wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as unto the Lord, then it says to the husbands, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Then he talks to the woman again. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And then he goes to the husbands and continues from the husbands all the way down. Now, it starts by saying the husband is the head of the family. I'm going to take off on the roles of the husband, then of the wife. And then we'll just very quickly look at the assignment and the rules that govern a successful courtship for the young man and for the young lady. It starts by saying the husband is the head of the home. So, number one, the husband is the head. Please write it down. If you are a man, say, I am the head of my home. Say it louder. I'm the head of my home. So it starts by saying the man is the head. What does it mean to be the head? Biologically, anatomically, the head is the thing that is above the rest of the body. Biologically, anatomically, the head contains all the major sense organs of the body. The sense of sight, of sight, the sense of hearing, the sense of smell, the sense of taste, and there was a fifth one, touch. Touch also exists in the rest of the body, but it also exists on the skin of the face. And so the man has the responsibility, number one, of direction. You are to give the lead in the home. You are to see for your wife. You are to give her direction. When you leave a woman to control the house, you have left yourself to some level of unsteadiness. Because women are very highly moved by emotions. I say it all the time. Their brains are two brains working together as one. Corpus callosum that separates it is very distinct in the women. So one side of the brain is thinking and the other side of the brain is thinking and they are communicating. So you say to a woman, this is red. She will tell you the tone of the red is not as much as the tone of the peach, of the orange. So I think it is not just red, it is peach. How many of you know that in a man's vocabulary, there are just like maybe five main colors? Red, yellow, green, blue, and what? Black. But if you put it in a spectrum, under red, the woman will tell you enough shades of red. From pepper red to tomato red to... Am I right, ladies? From pepper red to tomato red to fuchsia pink to baby pink to person taking all the decisions in the house. Today the decision might be because the color is peach and it's not coral. The man is the head. You take the lead. The woman has the role to assist in the decision making. Can make contributions, can make suggestions. The man can work with those contributions and those suggestions, digest them down and take the final decision. So, the man is the head of the home. He takes the lead. Number two, under the head, B, is the fact that he is chief. He is in charge. The chief in a situation, he said, chief executive. When you in career setups, you call the head of the organization the chief executive in and so on and so forth. The number C, he is the controller. He controls things. Number D, he is master. Well, these are all dictionary meanings of the word head. He's also supervisor. E and F, he is director. I had to stop there so that we don't go on further. Probably on another day, we'll be able to dissect every one of those roles and the assignments as the head which the husband plays in the home. Number two, the man is to love his wife. Number two, the man is to love his wife. The primary assignment of the man in the home is love. Love is all encompassing. We can have a whole month teaching on the topic of love. Love is all encompassing. The extent of that love, beloved brothers and sisters, is what will be surprising to you. The extent of that love, the Bible says, the husband is to love the wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Wow. Can we look at that verse 20, 23? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That is a very far-reaching one. Your love for your wife should be to the extent of giving yourself for her if need be. You are to come to a point that you put her ahead in all your considerations. You are ensuring that her comfort is your priority. You are ensuring that her care is your number one concern. You are ensuring that you are not acting like a baby who is expecting to be the major beneficiary of the relationship, but you are taking responsibility for the care in the relationship. A man that truly loves his wife as Christ loved the church is a man that is committed to his wife. Christ was so committed to the church that he gave himself for it. Christ was committed to the church that he was ready to go all the way to make the church what he wants it to be. When we say you love your wife and you love your wife like Christ loved the church, it means that you are sensitive to your wife. You are sensitive to her concerns. Some men are not aware of what their wives are going through. Many times, they are engrossed in their assignment. They come in tired. They leave very early and don't even have time to find out, how are you? Are you okay? Do you need something? Is there a concern in your heart? You don't look very bright. Is there any way you want me to assist you? If the church of Christ is an example to go by, and what Jesus did with the church is an example to go by, then many of us have a lot more work that we need to do. A man who loves his wife as Christ loves to the church is a man that is allergic to the tears of his wife. Is the way somebody has an allergic reaction. If you dare see her cry, you are moved. What is making my wife cry? And you want to go out of your way to ensure that she does not cry. I remember some years ago when we first came into Abuja and the ministry started. I was still practicing medicine. I was working in a hospital in Zone 4 and we lived in Zone 7. And one day I went to work. There's this doctor that kept persistently, used to be very irritating and very, very annoying. I don't want to use the word looking for my trouble, right? He was my junior, and I would give instructions, he would flounder instructions, and then at the end of the day, as the leader, you have to take responsibility. day I'm taking responsibility over and over for what is not my fault, etc., etc. No need to go through the whole whatever what that issue was. Well, one day I went to the office. I don't even remember the details right now. What made me cry that day? But I was so annoyed by what that doctor did and all, and I started crying, and I decided to jump into the car. I drove myself back home, and that was where our office was, because there was no church office then. He was in the office bus. You know, the bus was the office. And he said, "What happened to you? Why are you crying?" Doctor, who look for your trouble? I don't make you cry. Who is making you cry? Come, let's go. Of course, he was in the office, so he was fully dressed, tie everything, got into the car, and drove like Jehu. He didn't even bother with that tandelic little boy. He went straight to the chief executive of the hospital and said, "There's somebody." No, what did you do? I can't even remember. I was just feeling like, oh my God. You know what I'm talking about? And just to tell you, I don't even know what he did. But at the end of the day, he warned him or whatever. The person became very apologetic. Subsequent days in the office, he stayed out of my way. I'm very apologetic. I'm very obedient. But cut a long story short, after 2 weeks, he left the place. I don't know what made him leave. Nobody sacked him. The anointing on my husband sacked him. Hallelujah. So a man who loves his wife like Christ loves the church is a man that is allergic to the tears of his wife. Can I just rattle down some other things and then we'll go on so that I can at least say one word to the wives and say one word to the single people. You need to treat your wife like a queen. You need to support her. And then, very important, to be able to bring out the best in your wife. Bring out the best in your wife. You don't just make promises, you make commitments. You bring out the best in your wife. Can I tell you something? It doesn't matter how well a woman does in anything she does. At the end of the day, they ask, whose wife is she? It doesn't matter how much she earns. Even if she earns more money than the man. Even if she's more recognized in the society than the man. Even if she is more accoladed than the man. At the end of the day, they will still ask, whose wife is she? Who now is the one that gets that accreditation? It's the man. The average woman, by the time she gets married, has to drop her father's surname. Who is it then that is the one walking around with another name in the middle? It's still the man. And so, beloved sirs, you have a charge to bring out the best in your wife. Help her to accomplish. Help her to succeed. Don't trample her under your feet. Don't put her down. Let her shine. Let her be better than she was before she came to your house. There are some men, when the woman enters their house, she becomes a shadow of herself. You see how you're wondering, what happened to you? Cecilia, what happened? Emotional harassment has reduced her. That shall not be the portion of anybody here in the name of Jesus. No man shall be here like that in the name of Jesus Christ. I'll stop here. There are so many things more to say. Being peaceful, not being accusative and all that and all that and all that and so on and so forth. So, number three. The Bible tells us in that passage we're reading, the husband is to sanctify his wife. And like Christ did, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. So number three and four is to sanctify and cleanse. It's your responsibility to groom your wife. It's your responsibility to bring out the best in her. To make her who you want her to be. Present her to yourself, a church without spot or wrinkle. How you want your wife to be at the end of the day is it's your responsibility. So when you first got married, in the euphoria of the initial marital love, true, that might be on. If she's talking anyhow, it's your responsibility to tell her, no, 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 no. This is not how to say it. This is how to say it. If she wants to behave in a way that is contrary to the image you have of how your wife should behave in public, it's your responsibility to tell her, this is how I expect you to behave. Of course, it's not in the heat of when the situation is, or when you are upset, or when you are angry about her conduct, or whatever, that you try to do that, but you are able to, by wisdom, make her, shape her, and present her to yourself without spot or wrinkle, the way you want her to be. I think it was on Wednesday when I had the privilege to share at the end of the third for the second service message, and I was telling you about when we first got married, and I was pregnant for our first child, and I wanted to do the typical thing that in your head, when you are pregnant and you feel nauseated, you spit inside a container and keep it at the corner. Was that when I said it? Oh, it was on Tuesday. All right. So I mean, we got married and I wanted to do that, and then he came back home. He must have seen the little container but didn't say a word. And so I had to draw his attention to the fact that I was nauseated and I was spitting and salivating into a container and putting it at the corner. Then he now brought out Bible and said, I should open this Bible and tell him in this Bible where it is written, when thou art married, thou shalt vomit. And I was like, oh, this man, are you not pitying me? I'm currently just pregnant and I'm feeling all this nausea and discomfort. And I mean, and I'm like, of course, I didn't say all this, but I was thinking in my mind. And then he sat down and then he gave me a very accurate lecture. He said, we are not ready to start what we don't want to continue. If you start like this with the first pregnancy, is that what you do with all the children that you are going to have? I said, but is the way I'm feeling? He says, no, you have authority over the way you feel. I don't remember all the other things he said, but he was very firm. Conclusion was, it is not written in the Bible, when thou art pregnant, thou shalt vomit. So once it is not in the constitution of heaven, it does not align with the constitution of this house. The nausea and the saliva dried. No be joke, oh. I'm telling you, that was the end of nausea and vomiting. Why? Because a husband decided to present his wife to himself. A church without spot or wrinkle, cleansed by the water and by the word, how he wanted the church to be. Hallelujah. So husbands, don't complain about what you permit. Sisters, when he's trying to tell you how he wants it to be, please, you might want to explain your own point of view, why it should be the way you want it to be. But since you are his wife, see how conforming to his image will bring about peace and tranquility in the home. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. So you don't sit and let things degenerate before you try to make amends. Try and walk it into the way that you want it to be. I can't talk about other things now. I used to be very loquacious. I used to, because I'm a sanguine, I want to explain to you, okay, so when we got to when we left the house, we entered the car, then the car started, then we did the U-turn, and then we went to the, and then we got to the market. When we passed the market, we now went, and then we got, and all I'm meaning to say is I went from here to the office. Along the course of the line, he had it as a necessity to make it clear that all that detail was not necessary. Are you understanding what I'm saying? For me, I'm okay with it. That's how my temperament is. So I've got to give you the details. I've got to smile all the time and laugh all the time and be everything. And no. You've got to calm down. You don't have to give us all the details. And so, I am how I am now because somebody took his time to readjust. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Readjust. I see God working somebody in somebody's life and something in your life and destiny in the name of Jesus Christ. Of course, to of us cannot end up being like him. If we are all serious, if you came to church and all... Anyway, none of you really knows the real Daddy Paul Enenche, the way he used to be. You don't know him. You don't... In the university, those days, what are you talking about? You are coming this way, and you see Bro Paul coming. Because this is somebody you know, you make up your mind, I'm going to greet him when I get to him. Oh yeah? Samson, be coming. Alright? Alright, so we're walking in similar directions. Alright, you greet me as Sister Becky. Camera, did you get me? He's great. She, Sister Becky or brother, anybody is greeting. Good afternoon, sir. Hello. How are you? God bless you. And his face is straight. If we were all like that now, sure, you know that somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, so that's what marriage does. It molds you in this direction and molds you in the other direction, and then you arrive at a common ground that is it's acceptable for everybody, and everybody lives together. So number five, and I will stop on that for the men for today. It says, how do you do this cleansing and this sanctifying? It's by the washing of the water by the word. So, sirs, that you might cleanse it and sanctify it with the washing of the water by the word. The highest spiritual responsibility in the home lies on the man. You are the highest. You should be the highest spiritual authority. You should hold the highest spiritual responsibility. It should be your assignment to search the word, to dig into the word, get the revelation, and feed it to your wife. And subsequently, it gets to your children, either through your wife or from you. But it is your responsibility to fish out the insights, the revelation from the word. It's your responsibility to stand in the place of prayer, in the gap in prayer, for your wife, for your children, for your family. It's your responsibility. And your home is your primary assignment. Spiritual feeding to the home rests on the husband. And I believe that as we do this, the Lord shall grant us victory in Jesus' name. I'm sorry, I need to just say one more thing. The part that says he nourisheth her and cherisheth her. That's point number 7 and 8. I jump to 7 and 8. Please, that passage... In verse 28. So ought men to love their wives or as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it. Sir, have you not seen some men on their way back from work? They will enter Ukwobi joints. Eat to their satisfaction and then come home and clean their mouth as if nothing happened. And they are not bothered the quality of the food the wife is eating, the children are eating. The Bible says in that place, so ought a man to love and nourish his wife as his own self. The food you think is good for you, share it with your wife and your children. The cloth you think is good for you to wear, the appearance you want to have, let your wife also be well appareled. Be concerned about the care, the feeding, the sustenance of your family. Everything might not be available, but to the extent you have it, always share it. To the extent it is available, let it be shared. I shared this in our pastor's meeting the other day, and I said, I went to our pastor's wives, they were on ground, and I was telling them how when we first got married, My husband, on his way back, when he's on call or something, or on his way back from work, from the hospital to where we live, he would stop over at a Balango. How many of you know Balango? That dry kind of suya arrangement. Not the suya that they put on the stick. The other one that they make it flat and then they roast it and then they cut it in pieces as you want. Not kilishi. Kilishi is dry. Balango. Anyway, just assume suya. Okay? So on his way back from work, he will stop over at the suya joint and buy some balango. Sometimes it will just be as small as the palm of his hand. Because that was what he could spare in the light of the finances he had at his disposal. But he will keep this meat. Driving all the way from Terminus to the house. The smell is entering his nose. The heat is burning his pocket or hand or wherever he kept it. We died and he won't touch it. It used to touch me. Oh. Hallelujah. All right? And then he will come to the house with this small meat in that small newspaper wrapped up and say, I brought this for you on the way. Oh, thank you, honey. Thank you. And then once we present food and all, we eat. And then we eat the balango. Take one, I take one. Take one. Hallelujah. So all this respect you see, I'm genuflexing. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's not by mouth. You don't go and open eye and say, I am your husband. You must bend down to greet me. A word is enough for the wise. Any wise man in the house here today, give Jesus a big clap and a shout of praise. Hallelujah. And so on and so forth. Learn to care for your wife. Women, they are very simple. Sisters, how many of you know we are very simple? We are not complicated. Not complicated at all. Very simple. Very, very simple. Just do small things. We have agreed. I mean, we are just... No challenge. No stress. You shall not have any stress in your relationship again. If you believe it, shout aloud, amen. Help me tell somebody beside you. If it's a man, tell him, Ubosi, they hear, ba. So far, so good. So far, so good. If it's your husband, don't oversay it. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a big clap and a shout.